wow, it feels really cold. I've been cold all week, so it's nice to be in a warm place. We're glad you're here, glad for those folks that are watching at home. And we're going to begin with a song tonight, a good song, Trust and Obey, for There's No Other Way to Be Happy in Jesus. So we're going to sing three verses of this tonight. We really are. We're going to sing three verses. Zorg, would you just stand and open us in prayer tonight, please? Amen. Amen. Well, inside your prayer bulletin is a prayer letter from our missionary, Michael Shaver. Of course, Michael was the one who last year, about a week ago, lost his wife to cancer. Nadia was, I guess, probably in her early 30s. They had left. She left five children, of course, her husband as well. So it's really pretty amazing to watch him just continue forward with the Lord. He has a good supporting church there in Kentucky. His pastor's name is Eads, Pastor Eads, and they really minister well to him. So I thought you would like to hear this letter because he is still looking to get to Iceland. even without his wife, but we'll read this together. It says, praying supporters, wow, it is hard to believe 2022 is here. I hope each of you had a tremendous holiday season. This past year was a whirlwind for me. I want to thank all of you for your gracious continued prayer and support as we seek to follow the Lord. I have been recently reading of the children of Israel and the command to them to follow the cloud. This is what we are striving to do. Thank you for your faithfulness and your love and prayers for us. We are patiently waiting, or at least working on the patient part, on the Lord. We know he will accomplish his will. We are excited and hopeful to see what he does this year in our lives. At the advice of numerous counselors, you have been paused from active deputation. The number one factor keeping us is in this paused place is having a wife and a mother for my children. This is a bit of a daunting thought for me. I know that a plan like this far exceeds any wisdom I could ever muster, but I have been given the promise of God that he loves me and works all things together for my good. Please pray for us to stay in the center of God's will and timing concerning this. Though I am not actively maintaining full-time deputation, the Lord has brought meetings to us. This past quarter, we were able to be in numerous meetings. We were in 3 missions conferences during this time, 1 in Kentucky, 1 in Ohio, and 1 in West Virginia. We were also able to report to several current supporting churches. The conference in Kentucky was at my uncle Ken Shaver's church in Owensboro. It was a special blessing to me in that they focused on Iceland and had every missionary to Iceland present. Including myself, this made 4 of us. My cousin and my ministry partner, Nate, was there, as well as Patrick Weimer, currently the only missionary in Iceland, and Nathan Sears, the only other missionary on deputation. I have heard of some possible others who may be starting deputation soon, but I do not know them yet. I'm hoping to see God move us closer to Iceland this year, even despite the obstacles. I am trying to be careful not to step in front of him, but it is always encouraging to see him open doors. I am praying for God to allow us to increase our support this year and provide special opportunities to keep our burden strong and our vision in front of people. If any of you would like me to come report, I would be more than happy to work out a time. I am also open to the Lord bringing us new meetings, but I am continuing to take a passive role in this for now. Of course, he wrote this letter on the 19th. Today is January 19th. This coming Sunday will be 1 year anniversary of Nadia's death. This week last year was probably the hardest week of my life. I am not so much turned into dates. I have been known to forget my own birthday, but I can feel the heaviness of the season right now. I think my children can feel it too, but may not realize it. We are doing well, but would appreciate any extra prayers during the next week or two. Thank you again for your love and care for us. We are humbled by it. Please continue to pray for the things I have presented in this letter. We love you all. For Christ, Michael Shaver. So just really needs a lot of prayer. Seems to be doing well as you can. And that's one thing that we need always keep in mind. God is a consoler. He's the God of consolation. That means he consoles you through your pain. That does not mean he removes the pain. And so you can imagine having to relive in his heart and mind the events of a year ago. Just needs the brethren to pray for him. Every once in a while, I'll send him a text. Just say, Michael, we're praying for you and your kids. And just try to be a little bit of encouragement. So you'll notice there on all of our missionary prayer letters, they normally give you avenues in which you can make contact. Now, several years ago, we tried to do a ministry where different members in our church focused on one missionary, would write them different times during the year, and you know, maybe send them some kind of a encouragement gift, something like that. One thing I learned through that: do not expect missionaries to respond. And some of them do, and some of them do not. One of the reasons is they may be being supported by 120 churches, and they may have 1 or 2 people, you know, sending them emails, letters, and it just, if you're doing your work, it is not possible to sit down and always respond. to everybody. So I got kind of discouraged with it. I was writing one of our missionaries in Europe, and is like, man, I'm just not hearing from this person. And I just came to realize, you know what, that's not fair to them. And I'm not supposed to be seeking for them to bless me. My intent is to bless them, to be an encouragement to them. I'm not the one in a foreign land. I'm not the one who's left family and friends. They are. So keep being an encouragement. So if God lays it on your heart, whether it's Michael Shaver or any of our missionaries, just to have an opportunity to minister, not just through prayer or your financial giving, but through, you know, writing letters or an email or whatever it may be, I'd encourage you to do it. And of course, I wouldn't necessarily encourage you to do all of our missionaries, because that'd be quite a few, but some. And I think it could be a blessing. Brother Shaver has responded on some of the occasions I've written to him. And so it's an encouragement. And the last time he said, this really uplifts me when people write and just let me know they're praying. So might be a good time right now, with the anniversary being this week of Nadia's death. All right, we'll take our prayer letters tonight and our prayer list tonight, and just go over some things that I'll update you on the physical need first. Marianne Myers was to have surgery this week, and the doctors postponed that till March. So keep praying for Marianne. She will be having surgery. Across the way on the left-hand side is her daughter, Marcia Fleming, Marianne's daughter, Marcia Fleming, who lives out in Salt Lake City. And she had a major surgery on Monday. I thought it was last Friday, but I was wrong. It was this Monday. And so she's in the recovery mode. Also, the Myers have a friend, and he is on the left-hand list, Bob Colbank. And he has a tumor at the base of his brain. It's very large. And this week they're going in to remove that. They do not know if it's benign or if it's cancerous. And so they're hoping it won't be cancerous, but he will be going through that surgery if he has not had it yet. And he is a Christian man, and I guess Don said he has a good walk with the Lord. So pray for the Colbank family. My brother is really doing pretty well. Again, he has a lot of issues. He's constantly going to dialysis right now, and I don't think the bacteria is completely out of his bloodstream yet, but he called me the other day and just started to cry. And he said, I'm calling everybody I know that's been praying for me. I just want to thank you. So the Lord did a great work to raise him back up, but I appreciate you continuing to pray for him. We mentioned last week, some of the prayer requests last week, Andrea with COVID, is she improving at all?
Yeah, I was going to say, she and Joel are both doing better.
Okay, good.
Also, Bob Rowan on the list, he's over COVID now.
Okay, good. All right, so Bob Rowan is over the COVID, and Andrea and Joel are both doing better with that, so that's good. My daughter-in-law also has COVID. She found that out the other day. So if you would pray for Raylene, and she's not feeling too bad, but she does have COVID, so pray for her. And of course, it's always concerned with Chris because of his heart disease, but he does not have COVID, so we're grateful for that. Anyone else like to give us an update or maybe a new request tonight? Anyone with an update or a new request? Okay, we'll start with Heather and then Greg. Okay, so Kevin's on the prayer list, Kevin Nangan, and then his wife Sarah. Keep praying for them just to get completely over this. I saw an article today about long COVID, and I guess that's a designation for some folks that just continue with symptoms. They had a new variant today called Stealth Omicron. How many have heard of Stealth Omicron? Okay, so I guess that news is getting out. They say, can't tell you got it, and it's the same symptoms as Omicron, so I don't quite understand it, but they're the experts, so that's something to just give you more joy. And another variant of COVID. Anyone else? Oh, Greg, you had your hand up. Okay. Brandon and Kelly. Of course, Kelly's over her, so just pray for Brandon. I think a lot of you know Brandon. He's been here before. Grant?
Bo Nathalie. He's a policeman for probably 50 years. No exaggeration. They disconnected his life support yesterday. He's still hanging on. Cancer real bad. It's progressed extremely fast. So just pray for his family. Peggy is his wife's name. Chuck. Son is actually a Seventh Day Baptist minister over on Ireland. So if you just keep the family.
What was the last name? How do you spell that?
M-E-A-T-H-E-R-A-L.
Okay. All right. So the Mathrill family, Bo especially. Anyone else? Brooke? So that was Norma Heupel, who has cancer spread throughout. So pray for her. And Jeff, you had your hand up. Just on the special needs, I should have done this. I forgot to put it on. Just put Jeff's extended family. God will use him in ministering there to his sister's passing away. God will just use him in that. Anything else? Anything else? Now we have on the unspoken, Caroline Davis, Heather Electric, and Charles Electric. Does anybody else have an unspoken you'd like to put you down for unspoken? Anyone at all? Okay. Just check out the back for a moment and just again continue to remember our missionaries that have special health needs. Alethea Wilt, I think we mentioned Sunday that they believe she is going into remission. So Alethea is again the 7-year-old daughter of David and Elizabeth Wilt there in Staten Island. So that's good news. I guess she will continue treatments for the next 2 years though. So keep praying for her. I'm sure for any woman, it's a traumatic thing to lose your hair. And for a 7-year-old girl, it's no different. Of course, she doesn't feel well, so keep praying for her. Susan Sly has had the strokes and the swelling of the carotid artery, the migraines. And so there's still a concern because she's still having some of these symptoms there in Germany. And then Bob Yater, we talked about earlier about Bob Koblank with this tumor at the base of his brain. Bob Yater had the same thing, our missionaries there in Guatemala, and he doesn't write about it. So I tried contacting him, and I haven't gotten a response, so I really don't know. Does anybody, maybe somebody who's made correspondence with him, anybody know what's going on with that particular issue? Okay, so just pray for Bob in that regard. And then Kim Howell, of course, she had the appendix cancer and what they call jelly belly cancer. I'd never heard of that term before. And then the breast cancer that had spread. But again, in her last few letters, or his last few letters, they've not really mentioned much about the cancer. So she may be doing better. So continue to pray for Kim. And then A.B. Childs, of course, they lost their daughter, Wenji, there in their country. And as an adopted son, Bobby, here in the States, and he had surgery. So keep praying for A.B. and Barbara there in Southeast Asia. All right. Before I shut this, anything else? Anything else? All right. Yep, we'll take praise.
And he said, you want that?
Praise the Lord. That's really good. That is good. Do be in prayer tomorrow for the men traveling down to Roanoke. It is always a blessing. One of the speakers is David Gibbs. Everybody knows the name, David Gibbs. Great preacher, a great speaker. So it's always good. If you've never been, you need to at least go once. If you've been before, always encourage you to go back. It's probably the best thing I've ever been to, bar none, just to be honest. It's fantastic. So be in prayer for those men that are going down tomorrow and come back on Saturday afternoon. So keep that in mind. All right, I'm going to have you take your Bibles tonight. Last week we started a study on the subject of the ministry of angels. The ministry of angels. I've probably had more comments, positive comments, on this than anything I've ever done. People watching, you know, by live stream, and people that, you know, are coming on Wednesday nights, just a lot of positive comments. So I'm glad if it's a blessing to you, and obviously it is a subject in the Word of God because angels exist. There's no doubt about that. So we're going to be going back and continuing this, and I was just planning on maybe two Wednesday nights, but I got into it this afternoon. I just kept finding more things, and it's like, no, I want to do this next week too. So we'll do at least tonight and next week, probably end it then, but it's pretty amazing to me. We based our short study on the ministry of angels on Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, so I think it'd be good for us to go back there to Hebrews chapter 1. And just take a look at those two verses. As I mentioned last week, this chapter obviously is focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is superior to the angels. Later on, he's superior to Moses. He is superior to the law. And he is the only one that can save to the uttermost, as the book of Hebrews declares. But there is a fair amount mentioned here in chapter 1 about angels, and we're given the purpose of angels as least as it affects your life. Verses 13 and 14. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And obviously God the Father says that to God the Son. Verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? So 2,000 years ago, God is looking through the annals of time and says through the writer of the book of Hebrews about Jeff Sims, about Grant Smith, about Pastor Vaughn, you who are going to be heirs of salvation, guess what? I have some folks that are going to minister to you. They're the angelic host. They're going to be ministering in your behalf. Let's have prayer and we'll get right into the study tonight. Father, I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be here tonight. Lord, it's extremely cold. It's extremely icy out. And yet there are a good number of folks here, quite a few for Awana tonight, teen ministry. So we're grateful for everyone that was able to make it out tonight. And for those that cannot come out, Lord, you know their special circumstances. They're at home. So minister to them. Let the Word of God minister to them right where they are, as it would right here in this place. But Lord, bless your Word. Use it for your glory. Here and in every classroom throughout these buildings. The Lord will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep in mind the word angel means a messenger or an ambassador. God uses his angels as messengers for his purposes. And of course, we're told here that they minister to the saints. They serve us. They aid you and me in our time of need. I mentioned last week that one of the problems when people get into a study of angels or become enamored with the subject of angels is there have been many who have gone toward worshiping angels and putting angels on a level with the Lord Jesus Christ or with God the Father, and that certainly is not the case. The Apostle Paul warned against it in Colossians 2:18. Again, we're just repeating some of the things we looked at last week. There Paul said, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. He said, don't go there. And yet, despite the warning, there are people over the centuries who have gone toward that very thing. And even in this day and age, in our modern age, people tend to go toward those things, and God forbids it. He says it's wrong. They've been created to be your ministers, to aid you because you're my children, but they are not to be worshipped. And I just find it interesting, we pointed this out last week, that one of the greatest Christians, the beloved apostle, St. John, if you want to put it that way, the apostle John, found himself so awed by an angel in Revelation chapter 22, verses 8 and 9, that he began to fall down, and the Bible says he began to worship the angel. And I can almost picture this, the angel reaching down and picking him up and says, "No, sir, I'm of your brethren. I'm a servant just like you are. We worship him. You're not going to worship me." So if there was an angel who appeared here tonight, be it an archangel, be it a cherubim, or a cherub, or a seraph, they, you know, here's what they would tell you. Worship God. Worship his son. I'm not here to have you worship me. Now, we mentioned about angels ministering, but their chief purpose is not to minister to the saints, is to do exactly what John tried to do to the angel, and that is to worship God. That's what we're told in Hebrews 1:6. And again, when he breathed forth the first begotten into the world, he saith, "And let all the angels of God worship him." That's their chief end. Again, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, we won't look at it, but you find thousands upon thousands upon thousands, innumerable number of angels declaring to God, "You're worthy of praise and honor and glory and blessing and power," and so forth. They just constantly praise God. That is their chief purpose, but it's not their only purpose. That other chief purpose, I guess, would be on your and my behalf. Now, last week, we began to look at some different passages on how God uses angels in this, I guess you could say, secondary purpose, first to worship God, but then to minister to God's people. And we began by looking at the reference in Matthew 18, verses 10 and 11, about how God has angels who minister to the little ones, to children. Their angels do always behold the face of the Father, that passage says. And God gives a warning. Jesus Christ gives a warning. Don't you dare offend one of these little ones. That's why we have things like Awana. That's why we have Bible study for children. That's why we do vacation Bible schools and things like that. Why? Because they are near and dear to God. I heard years ago, I don't remember who said it, it may have been Jack Hiles, who said it is better to win a child while they're young and they have their whole life to give than to see an adult saved who has already wasted the majority of their life. You know, that kind of a mentality, and I that's right. You know, praise the Lord every time a little child puts their faith and trust in Christ in this place, or there at the home, or wherever it may be, at a youth camp or at a vacation Bible school. Praise the Lord for that, because now they have their whole life that can be used to serve God. Whereas someone my age or some 40-year-old or even a 30-year-old gets saved, we get all thrilled about that, but much of their life is already spent. So there is a huge focus by God upon children and how he does not want them offended. Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. It's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that any of these little ones should perish. It's a big deal to God. And he says, I have angels assigned to these children. I gave you the example of my sister Judy when she passed away with leukemia, that there was a peace in her. She, even at the age of six, somehow had a focus on heaven and didn't seem to be really bothered by that fact. Now, she had a childlike mind, but you know what? That's what God wants you and me to have, a childlike mind. So that maybe when we come to the day of our death, you know, for us, I know, you know, we have spouses, we have children, you know, and the child may not comprehend all those things, but still to have that just childlike faith in God, that simple faith that says, God, it's okay. Man, I get to go be with you. So that's the hope there. Then we began to look at the passages where we find those angels ministering to the saints, to those who are born again. We looked at Acts 27, verses 21 through 25. We won't go back to that, but there God ministers through an angel to the apostle Paul. in a special need there as he is sailing toward Rome, and an angel comes to him and says, Paul, you don't have to fear. There's not going to be one loss of life among all these people aboard this ship. The crew, the prisoners, not one loss of life. And that angel reassured him. He ministered to Paul. And then I think we may have looked at Acts 12, but I'm not positive. So I want you to go to Acts chapter 12 tonight. Acts chapter 12, and I want you to look at verse 5. If we did this last week, just humor me. Sometimes I forget to mark where I left off. So just say, wow, I never heard that before, even though you may have. Acts chapter 12, and we'll look at verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. So here you find an angel coming and ministering to the Apostle Peter. Now, one of the things that I noted going through these different lives is this. Whatever victory may have been won here did not prevent the suffering of later times. History and tradition says that Peter would be crucified upside down. He would not find miracles every time he was beaten or every time that he was incarcerated. He would lose his life. In fact, Jesus there, as he spoke with Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And he told Peter the way he was going to die. You are going to have basically your hands bound. You're going to go a place where you don't want to go, and you are going to be martyred. So while we look at this and say, praise the Lord for the deliverance of the angel, the Lord did not deliver him when he was crucified. So I point that out because fairy tales always end in positivity, if you would. You know, nothing bad ever happens. Remember this, even with the ministry of the angels in your life and your family's life, the Word of God is very plain. Many are the afflictions. Many are the afflictions of who? The righteous. And we could quote verse after verse, you know, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. That is the reality of living in the New Testament age, the age of grace. The kingdom is not set up on earth for us. We anticipate the heavenly kingdom. So we go through things that, those Jewish people who, when they lived right, God gave them extreme blessings here on earth. Most of our blessings come the opposite side of earth there in heaven. So anyway, before I go way off on a rabbit trail, the point is, while God uses his angels to minister to the saints, it is not something that every time, you know, they go to stub their toe, the angel is going to be there to deliver them or you or me. Because God allows those things to befall his own people. Here's an interesting one. Go back to the book of Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. In Genesis chapter 28, we're looking at the life of Jacob. Jacob at this point is now running for his life. His brother has threatened to kill him, and I don't question that he would have fulfilled the threat if he'd had opportunity, but mom and dad made sure that Jacob got out of town, sent him back east, get him out of the way so his brother can't fulfill his plot to put him to death. And so while he is headed back east, we find here, beginning in verse 10 of Genesis 28, an event that happened. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones that of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whithersoever thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that of which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. It's always a statement that is troubling to me, that someone who is a child of God does not sense and know the presence of God in his life, even though God is there. And the fault is not with God, the fault is with the individual. And I look at Jacob's life, and he was carnal. He was just a carnal man. I don't question he was a child of God, but he was carnal up to this point. And God would have to do a lot of things to get him where he wanted him to be. And he never really sensed the presence of God in his life like he ought to have sensed it. But in this particular occasion, here's this, again, a carnal believer. And God comes to him and gives him this vision of these angels ascending and descending this ladder to heaven. An act of ministering. And we'll find that a parallel passage of sorts in the New Testament. We'll look at that later on. But God ministered to this man, though he wasn't what he ought to have been. How many times has God ministered to us, with or without angels involved, when we weren't really right, when there was carnality in our life, when all sin was not really dealt with and living as we ought? He's just a good God. He's just gracious and kind and loving and merciful and gentle and patient and long-suffering. That's what he is. And the longer I live, the more I recognize how much of those graces he has poured in my life every single day. Every single day. A lot of times he just does things for us. And none of us are deserving of anything. We're not deserving of salvation. We're not deserving really of anything. But the reality is that sometimes he just goes beyond what, and I think you could say, what he's really required to do for us. And I'm grateful for that. And he certainly did that for Jacob. In the same book, Genesis chapter 19, and this is even more amazing. Genesis chapter 19. Again, the ministry of angels to the saints. Genesis chapter 19, look at verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. That is a place of political power, by the way. This is how corrupt Lot had become. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Look at verse 10. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. I'm just trying to save a little bit of time. You know, the men of the city gathered together, and they wanted these, what they thought were just men. I'm sure they were very impressed with their physique and their size. Oh, we want to have those men come out so that we can know them in a perverted way. And Lot offered his daughters instead and all those things. So these angels, referred to as men, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Now here's another purpose of an angel. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. And this is always a troubling statement to me. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. What do people think of my testimony? What do people think of your testimony? When we start talking about God and quoting verses, man, I hope to people, whether they're other believers or whether they're lost people, that they don't think we're mocking God because our lives don't match what we declare we are. Verse 15, And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened to Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And here again, a man that is in a far worse state than Jacob was. He has perverted his life. The Bible says he vexed his righteous soul with the wickedness of this place. Let me just say again, we need every one of us, including your pastor, to be very careful what we allow ourselves to do. The places we go, the activities we're involved in, the things we watch, the things we listen to, because Christians vex their righteous souls. 2 Peter chapter 2 declares very much that Lot was a righteous man. He was a just man. He was a child of God. And God did deliver him because he was his child, and he used angels to do it. They ministered to him. And then those angels who just ministered to that man turned around and destroyed not just Sodom, but Gomorrah and several other small cities around them. Wiped them out. So again, God uses angels to minister and even minister to those who aren't in a right standing with the Lord. Go back to the New Testament, Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, we're all familiar with this very much, the rich man and the beggar Lazarus. Now, I know a lot of folks consider this a parable. I personally do not, so if you're of the opinion that this is a parable, that's okay. I'm not arguing the point. But one of the reasons I do not consider this a parable, because you never find the names, proper names of people used in parables. And I think personally the only reason he does not mention the rich man by name is just out of mere kindness to a very heartbreaking, embarrassing situation for that man. But anyway, I just want you to notice here in Luke chapter 16, verses 20 through 22. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now, I want you to notice, when this man died, the angels came and carried him away. Last week, I think it was Kerry Smith, said to me the next day, he said, well, you know, I like what was being taught last night and so forth. And I made a comment, you know, it's sad because with our modern medical practices now, we dull people's senses during the period of transfer from life into eternal life. And that's not bad. I understand. I mean, if you you know, are being torn up with cancer, as we've heard testified to with people. You don't want people to be there in excruciating pain. But when you deal with that kind of pain, you dull all their senses. And Carrie made the statement about her dad that when he died, he did have, even though he was dealing with dementia, he had understanding in those moments. He said, I can see heaven. I can see it. And I can't remember the exact words she used, but it's like, how many times, I remember when I was in Bible college, we'd have these preachers come in and preach for us in our chapels, and a lot of these men were just good soul winner pastors, and they loved their people, and they would tell stories about sitting down with these older saints. Now, I went to college way back in the 80s, so it's been a long time ago. And I know we had those kind of medicines back then, but they were recalling things done even in decades before, where they were at the side of a saint who was dying, and they weren't all medicated, and they did have their senses, and they would see things like angels coming, and they would see heaven's doors open. And you can say, oh, that's just the mind playing tricks. Well, believe what you want. You got an account right there that talks about angels ministering to people in the moment of their death. You can look at the life of Stephen, and in his moment of death, what does he see? He sees Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. That was not an usual position. He was seated at the right hand of God, a place of victory, a representation of his victory over sin and death and hell. But he stood up like, I'm ready to come right now and deliver my children. And I can almost see the Father saying, not yet, just wait. So these saints see these things, and I think it's a grace that God gives to the believers. It's a ministry that God uses angels, even in those moments of death. I got a whole bunch of them, but I guess we really don't have a lot of time. You could look at the life of Daniel, if you want to write these references down. Daniel 10, verses 5 through 14. Daniel chapter 8, verses 15 through 19. And there you are introduced to the angel Gabriel as he comes and he delivers certain messages to Daniel. Luke chapter 1. Verses 11 through 14, and then verse 19, the priest Zacharias, he is in the temple fulfilling his particular ministry there in the temple. And as he is doing the ministry of incense, the angel Gabriel appears to him and tells him, your wife, who is past childbearing age, is going to have a son. You're going to name him John the Baptist. And then in that same chapter, he later, a few months later, goes to a young virgin girl by the name of Mary and informs her that she is going to give birth to the very Son of God. It's Gabriel's ministry. They minister to these people. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, you find Michael, the archangel, ministering to the nation of Israel itself in its time of need. And it is a prophetical thing, looking really at the future, what Michael will do. And boy, oh boy, are we seeing things unfold in front of our eyes right now. We really, really are. You have to be blind not to see what God is doing and all the little pieces he sees moving into place to get us ready for his coming, especially when it involves Israel. John chapter 1, and I want you to look at this one because I made mention of this. I said there's kind of a parallel passage to what happened with Jacob. Go to John chapter 1. It's parallel only in the sense that it mentions the same kind of view of the angels as Jacob saw in his dream there in the desert. In John chapter 1, I want you to look at verse 49. Nathanael answered and said unto Jesus, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I just find that interesting because we are not told that any of the other apostles nor any other saint at that time was given that particular privilege. As far as we know, that was exclusive to Nathanael, maybe because of his great declaration, "Thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." And he said, you are declaring that from just a little bit of information or the things you've seen today? He said, you, my friend, are going to see greater things than these. You are going to see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And we don't know that any of the other apostles ever saw that. And I just think that's pretty cool. Sometimes God just does things for you. Not for everybody else, just for you. Why? Because you are special to Him. Now, you and I may not always feel like we're special, but if you're a child of God, you are special. And sometimes He'll just do things just because you're His child. That particular ministry was not to children, was not to saints, it was to the Savior Himself. Nathanael, you are going to see angels ministering to the Son of God. So what do you find during the lifetime of the Lord Jesus Christ? When He becomes flesh and dwells among us, what happens? Angels ministered to Him. In Mark chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, we won't go over the verses, but you can write that down. Jesus has just finished 40 days in the wilderness, in which He has not eaten, He's not drank as well, and He has been under the temptation of Satan. And at the end of the time, the Bible says that God sent angels, plural, to minister to the Lord in that desert. Then there's another occasion in Gethsemane as Jesus is nearing Calvary. And there the Bible says that He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And He asked the Father, "If it's possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done." And in that agony, as the Bible describes, the agony in garden, the Bible says an angel, singular, came down and ministered to the Lord Jesus. How did He minister? The Bible doesn't really tell us how He did it. We just know He did it. I would love to know what the angel said to Him. It didn't keep Him from Calvary. Didn't keep Him from dying. Listen, an angel's ministry to you may not keep you from some heartache, but it may just help you get through the event. God used even angels to minister to His own Son. I find that kind of fascinating. And then we'll have to look at this one last statement tonight. Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, I want you to look beginning in verse 51. Now Jesus is about to go to the judgment hall. The horde of men have come out to arrest Him. Verse 51 of Matthew 26 says, "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to My Father, and He shall presently give Me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" Sometimes it is right and good that we suffer and go through valleys. Brother, aren't you glad that Jesus went through this valley? Because if He hadn't, we would not be saved. He said, the Scripture must be fulfilled. I must go through this. Peter, put up your sword. You're not really helping anything. Don't do that. Don't prevent what God has ordained. There are times that God ordains in our lives that things happen to us that in our human eyesight, our limited, finite vision, we do not understand. Nevertheless, God is in control. God is in control. I look at the economy. I look at the geopolitical landscape right now. I look at all these things, you know, in the realm of, you know, health, and say, this is terrible. You want to pull your hair out and throw up your hands, and it's kind of scary. And God isn't moved with it at all. I heard somebody today say there's a mosaic that God is making right now. Little pieces. You know what a mosaic is? Little pieces here and there. And as you look at it and I look at it, it doesn't make any sense. It's making all the sense to God in the world. He knows exactly what he's doing. All these things are allowed of him. He has a master plan. Even with COVID, he has a master plan. God is working. And God was working here. And so I want you to notice what he said. He said to Peter, and in the presence of these men, I could call 12 legions. Now, of course, that was a familiar term to all those because of the Romans who occupied their land. The number of in a legion varied with time, but during this time, a Roman legion was 6,000 men. 12 legions would have been 72,000 angels. He said, I could call, and they would come at my beck and call, 72,000 angels. In 2 Kings 19:26, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. One angel, in a period of probably 4 to 5 hours, slaughtered 185,000 Assyrian troops, the best troops in the world at the time. What could 72,000 angels have done? Jesus said, they're at my beck and call. If I ask them to come, they will come. They are chomping at the bit to come. They do not want me to suffer. Those angels ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I take it that Jesus had to say, no, no. This is my Father's will. You do not come. Don't come. It's ordained for me to go to the cross. I'm just going to close tonight. I think this is a good thing to point out. When we talk about angels ministering to the saints, we're told in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, this. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares. There are times where you might end up entertaining an angel and you don't realize it's an angel. Now, for Peter and for some of these others, they recognize angels. God said, and apparently to most of the saints, angels get involved in our life and we don't necessarily know that they're angels, especially at the moment. When I was a student at Bob Jones University, my freshman year, of course, you know, like most schools, most colleges, you have secular schools, sororities, and the Christian schools, societies, and I was in Chi Alpha. And we were having this meeting, 100, 200 guys, whatever it was, in the society. And we had a student there, and he must have been a junior or a senior, because at that time when I was in school, you were not allowed to have a car unless you were a senior or a junior. Now, there was a practical reason, because at that time we were at the height of the population at Bob Jones, and there wasn't room to park all cars for every student. So they limited who could have cars for some practicality reasons. So this guy had a motorcycle, and you know, those of you who have been down to Greenville will know of Paris Mountain. And he was up on Paris Mountain, and he was riding and doing what most young guys do, probably going way too fast on the curves because it's cool to do on a motorcycle, till the spokes broke on the front tire. And he had no chance to slow down. He had no chance to brake, and right over the edge of the mountain he went, and went down into a ravine and separated from the bike, and he hit several trees, and his body's all broken up, and he lands on his back. And he is still conscious somehow. It's dusk, getting dark, and he has enough sense about him to say, I'll never be found, I'm too far down. No one would ever stop to think, there are no skid marks, there's no indication that I went over the mountain. And he said, while he's laying there in this agonizing pain, somebody comes up and puts his hand on him. He said, this man just walks up to him and kneels down and puts his hand on him and says, you will be okay. Gets up and walks away. He said right at the time that that man walked away, headlights, looking up, laying on his back, he saw headlights, and instead of going around the curve, they stopped. And somebody came out of that car, no one knows why the person did it, and looked over the edge. Now, I don't know how he saw him. Maybe the bike caught on fire, so he saw something down there. And so they called in a rescue team, and they went down, and they were able to bring him out. Now, I remember when he told us that story, he was standing, I think he stood up on a chair or on the table so everybody could see him, and he showed the effects of that accident. He walked funny because of broken bones and all that. But he said to all of those men in that society, he said, God did something special that day. My sister Jill and her husband Dan, they ministered for several years in Atlanta. And his father was on the staff of Camp Baptist Temple for many, many years. And his first wife had died, so he was now a widower for many years. And God brought a woman there in the church into his life, and they decided to get married. It was the month of January, so they asked all the children to come home and be part of their dad's marriage to his new wife. So they went up, and they were traveling down 77 to go back to Atlanta, when they got caught in a bad snowstorm. Right, probably 5 miles outside of Marietta, fresh snow, about 6 inches had fallen very quickly. So we're in a single line of traffic, everybody just creeping along. That happened to Debbie and me Monday, coming back from Pittsburgh. She had a doctor's appointment. We got stuck going slow. And we had big semis just blowing by us, you know, coming down 79. That's scary when those things happen. We've all been in those situations. So this semi rig goes past all these cars and Land Air, that was the truck line, Land Air, you've probably seen those around here. And all of a sudden, the truck begins to skid because he is on snow that has not been driven on and it loses traction. And the cab and the cab and trailer turned and somehow got between the other cars and my brother-in-law, who's driving a minivan with four kids and my sister, and it went into his lane. So now the truck, the cab, is pointed toward the van. So the driver of the van and the driver of the truck are looking at each other. Hits the guardrail, and those fiberglass bodies are being ripped off, or pieces of fiberglass from the cab are being ripped off and going past the van. So they're not able to stop right away. They're both going toward, they're both trying to get stopped, and all of a sudden that trailer on that cab jackknifes and comes back and hits the front end of their van and penetrates the front end of their van. So when it hits, it pins my sister in. My brother-in-law was not pinned. He gets out. He has enough sense to try to get his kids out of the van because it began to fill up with smoke. He's trying to get his kids out, and he said this lady walks up, just kind of walks up, says, don't worry about your kids. I'm a nurse. I will take care of your kids. You try to get your wife out. And so he doesn't know this person, but in the shock of all those things, this woman begins to pull the kids out of the van, and my brother-in-law is trying to get my sister out, but she was pinned. And it took him quite a while to get her out. Eventually he did. Of course, there was a fear that, you know, something was going to catch on fire with the smoke coming out. Never did, though. And he said, while he's getting my sister out, he's kind of turning and looking to make sure that everything's okay with his kids and this woman. He said he looks at the woman. She's laying the last kid down. He turns back around, turns immediately back around, and she's gone. She's just not there. Now, you can say what you will, but there was something very unusual about that. In fact, your wife told me about an incident that she had either been involved with or somebody in the family or something happened similar to that. So I've heard from different people in our churches or in this church of incidences where very unusual things happen. Now, you say, was it an angel? I don't know. I have no idea, but it may have been. We just know this, that angels ministers to believers. And many times, according to Hebrews 13:2, it is at unawares. You don't realize that God has sent an angel to minister to you. So what do? Enjoy it. And maybe you'll find out one day when you get to heaven that it was an angel. And maybe by the time you get there, you'll say, you know, it doesn't really matter if it was an angel or not. I'm here. I'm just going to enjoy heaven. Not have to worry about any of those things anymore. But here, again, is the reality. Angels minister to you and me. I wouldn't go around looking for some, you know, angel, you know, under every teapot, you know, and around every corner. They had a council centuries ago trying to figure out how many angels could fit on the head of a needle. Remember that one? You know, was it several thousand on, you know, when I talk about a needle, I mean like a sewing needle. How many angels could fit on the head of a needle? What a thing to debate in a great religious council. But that was the concern. So I guess what I want you to take away from this is this. Angels minister to you and me. They're a blessing from the Lord. They're not to be worshipped, but they are there for our benefit. They're there for the benefit of the believers. And when I go back to Revelation 22, I remember what the angel said to John. When John tried to worship the angel, he said, "Don't do this. I'm here to worship God and so are you. Let's just keep our focus on the Lord." So keep your focus on the Lord, keep your worship there, but just appreciate the fact that God is using the heavenly host to minister to you and my needs in his wisdom. I honestly don't understand why he does that, but he does. So praise the Lord for that. Now, I'm going to close tonight. I've gone over. I've not gone over for a long, long, long time on Wednesday nights. I did it for a purpose tonight. I did a little more research because I mentioned last week that angels are created beings. And that's another confusion that some people have. Like they've always existed ever since eternity past. As long as God has existed, angels have existed. That is not true. So next week, I'm going to show you some things about angels that we don't often consider that I think could be a benefit. One of the reasons for it is because there is confusion among certain religious groups in praying to angels, worshiping angels, venerating angels, and so forth. And we can be prone to those kind of things if we're not careful. So we're going to look at that to close out our study on this. So I hope it's, one, informative, because we need to know things. But secondly, just a way to rejoice. Hey, God does special things. Now, all these events, those things are true things that happen to people that I know or others that have told me about things. And, you know, again, were they angels? I have no idea. I have no idea. But somewhere along the line, Christians are ministered to, even if we're not aware of it. So just praise the Lord for it. All right, well, let's go ahead and we'll have prayer. And we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you for the privilege of teaching. I like this kind of stuff. I hope it's been a blessing and a help to others. You've put it in your book. We're to understand it. We're to know it. So that, one, we don't get the wrong view of these great beings that you have created. Lord, I ask that we would benefit from it. And be grateful to you for the ministry of angels in our lives. Again, Lord, just those who stay to pray, answer prayer tonight. That's one of the things that you have challenged us to do, is to be people of prayer. So I pray we would not rush out. Normally, Awana is not over till about 20 after. So pray the folks would just take time to pray. But if they're not able to, that you would just give them safety going home. Lord, work in this place in a special way. We'll thank you for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty.